just showing us that, you know, that he can take our little and make it much. Nothing is ever too small for Jesus to bless and make and produce more. As we see in that text, the folks were coming in, and it was a Passover, and they had all been there, many crowds, and here's Jesus, the miracle worker. They had been following him because there were signs. And then they obviously were hungry. And Peter said, and Jesus said to Philip, what are we going to do? Are we going to feed these folks? And he was testing Philip, the scripture says. And then and Philip's response was, we have nothing to feed all these people. Right? That was his response, like we would, any human being would do. And then, of course, Andrew said, but there's a little boy who has 5 loaves and 2 fish, and we could do something about this. And here it is, Jesus said, let them sit down. And they sat on the grass, they sat on the hills, because that area is all hilly. And what did Jesus do? He blessed it. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he blessed it. And then they served it, and it multiplied. And the main lesson from this is that what we think is little, what we think is too small, in the hands of God, it can be much. God can take our little and make it much. Right? Amen? God's mind is greater than ours, as the scripture says. And he'll take that little amount and make it much. And the second lesson here is that God expects us to serve, right? To give of what we have to others who are in need. To give back. To do. And the Lord will multiply. And the blessings will come upon us. And we will be what? Building karma. Good karma. Spiritual blessings. Because we're taking that little and make it much. And I know I used to think back when I was growing up many years ago back home in the Caribbean. When my parents did not have that much at all. I mean, in those days, and many of you probably can equate to that, but no one, we didn't have telephones, but no one would stop at our house on the way to the market or something that she would not have something to give. She would literally take our food off our plate and divide it. If somebody stopped up on without, you know, there's no telephone, so they're going and they just stop. She would take the food off our plate and divide it and give them. My brother and I used to say we have to eat the meat first and leave whatever, because sometimes we'd have a piece of chicken and she'd, you know, and I'd have a piece of chicken, he would, and literally somebody would stop, some cousin, or everybody was a cousin, you know what I mean, everybody was related in the neighborhood, and they would stop and she would be trying to divide the food. So we came up with a plan that we should eat the protein, we call it the meat, whatever it is, eat that first, so whatever she's going to divide won't be the good part. But she would always want to divide what we have to give to someone else. How many times I've slept on the floor because somebody stopped, they were on their way to the market or so, or somewhere, and they had to come because we lived in the city, and they would come from the parishes, the country area, and she would tell us, oh, Miss So-and-so has to go to immigration tomorrow or to the doctor, and she has to, and the doctor is near to us, and you have to sleep on the floor so that she could get the bed. And all of that, I think, is a blessing that has been upon me and also taught me how to be a giver, how to serve, right? Because I came from that environment. It was never always about me, about us. It was about what we can do. And the Church of Jesus Christ is expected to be that way. Always seeking ways to serve others. What we could do. And Christian believers, we are expected to do that. And thanks be to God in our church here, we try to do that to the best of our ability throughout the ministries that we have. To take what we get to serve. And so this is the message of this first, this is the message of this first scripture. The first part of this scripture, right? Jesus taking a small amount and feeding a large amount of folks. But my focus today is on Jesus then walking on the water, the second half, and then I'm taking care of these disciples. And it is talking about surviving the storms of life. A storm is said to be a violent disturbance of the atmosphere with strong winds and usually rain and thunder and lightning and snow, right? So a storm in our lives is a disturbance. Something happens that we didn't expect, right? You know, they used to say in the Caribbean again, trouble does not set like rain. Because in the Caribbean, you could come out and look up in the sky. I think you could do it here sometimes, but in the tropics, you could look up in the skies and you know when rain is set. That means rain is going to come because the skies are so clear. So you could look up and you said, and the older folks would say, I know it's going to rain, and it would be true. But they used to say trouble does not set like rain. The storms of life is not set in the skies. We don't know when it's coming. But once it comes, we have to find a way to what? To survive it, right? I read this story that said there was a Weather Channel storm tracker. And it goes like this. It said, for the past 25 years, Jim Cantori, the Weather Channel's storm tracker, has tracked and chased, run into and then reported on some of the most extreme storms on the planet. In the spring of 2011, Cantori provided coverage in the midst of a severe tornado outbreaks in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and Joplin, Missouri. Both towns suffered extensive damage. It was unthinkable, as you would think, Cantori said. Houses were piled up into corners and the streets looked more like movie sets. But according to Cantori, these kinds of storms pale in comparison to the personal storms of life that some people experience on a daily basis. Even the storms of nature pale. In particular, Cantori thinks of his two children, both who were born with fragile X syndrome, a genetic disorder that can lead to autism-like symptoms. Cantori says that his children have the real storms of life, or what he calls the storms that hurt the most and never go away. Cantori says, what my children have to deal with on a daily basis is by far more difficult than anything I will ever come in contact with. Storms of life. And so here we are, we know that there are storms of life, storms that we see, storms that come up and try to destroy our life. And the scripture has been read and telling us that Jesus was walking on the water and men were in the boat and they were overwhelmed. They were scared. They didn't know what was happening as I did in the children's moment. And they did not expect it, just like we do not expect these things to happen, right? And then, as soon as they got overwhelmed, Jesus showed up, as I told the children, and he said to them, do not be afraid. It is I. It is I. Perhaps you and I have heard the saying, into each life some rain must fall. Into each life, each of our lives. And we have to have the ability to what? To seek Jesus and to what? See Jesus. Right? And hear these words. Do not be afraid, it is I. Well, what if what you are experiencing is more like a flood? There are times it's not a rain. Into each life a rain must fall. Sometimes it's like a flood that comes into our lives, one after each other. As I reminded you I told you before about this pastor who lost one son, and in 30 days he lost the other son. That is not rain, that is a flood, isn't it? That comes and you're overwhelmed. I have observed that trial often comes in numbers. It always comes in numbers. Something happens and then you say, what else is going to happen? Right? It comes in numbers. People of faith know sprinkles, but we also know full-blown storms, right? We also know, I have recently heard some stories, and maybe you have too. For example, I was speaking to someone who had just been diagnosed with cancer. And then the husband has lost his job. And then another person was talking, I was talking with, said she's desperately overwhelmed. My life is full of good things, but I can't enjoy them. I am overwhelmed. Another person said to me, my son needs more therapy and is struggling to adjust at home and school. Another individual was crying about their child who was drug addicted. And have done everything they can to work it out. The storms of life. And these are Christian folks who go to church. We are not exempt from this. When the rain is falling in my life, I have one sure shelter to go to, and that is the Word of God. To go to God and the Word of God. I in my confirmation class yesterday, we were going through the Psalms, and I had given the children homework, and the homework was that they should look at these Psalms, and there were about 8 or 9 Psalms, Psalm 1. And can you imagine that in a confirmation class, that the book I'm using would ask young people these questions, and they're 12 and 13. It gave them Psalm 1, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, 46, 62, 69, 84, 121, 127, and 138. And the instructions were they should choose 3 Psalms, read the Psalms, and come up with a title that best fit it. And the titles they gave them was Lament, Praise, Thanksgiving, or Miscellaneous. And the two girls, young girls, they chose the 3 Psalms for themselves, and I know that Karen had the 3 Psalms, and little Megan only had 2. There were Thanksgiving and Praise. And then I said to them, do you know what is a lament? Right, because none of them chose a lament, but they would not have known, because they don't know it from the numbers. And Psalm 22 is a lament. And it says, I'm just going to read the first verse, because it is a long psalm, and it's, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. My God, why have thou forsaken me? And I said to the young children, that's a lament. I said, do you know what that means? That means when you go to the Lord, you could go to the Lord in prayer, and you could go to the Lord with tears. When you're going through difficult times, you can lament before God. You can cry before God. I don't know what seed I'm planting in them, but it's a seed I hope they'll remember, that they can go to the Lord in prayer and lament and in tears, because life is not going to be a cakewalk for them forever. Not for me, not for you, not for them. Right? That it's okay. I want them to understand that it's okay to go to the Lord and cry out to God. Cry out to God when things don't go right. Ask the Lord, my God, why? My God, have you forgotten me? I am still here, God. God, I cannot take any more. And we have the authority to do so, because the scriptures are left for us to guide us and to teach us how we, when we face these trials and tribulations. Amen? I don't want to just give the children stories that are cute, but to understand that life comes with its ups and downs. The psalmist says, to you we cried out and were saved. And so, friends, when the storms of life are raging, the songwriter says, stand by me. When the storms of life How do we survive these storms of life? First point I want to give today is we have to stand on God's promises. What does it mean, stand on God's promises? We must claim God's promises for ourselves, right? The mind the Bible, go through the Bible, find the words of promise. Jesus says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you even unto the ages. Find these words in the Bible when we're going through these Psalms and read them for yourself. It will bring you hope. Stand on His promises. Claim them as yours. Claim these promises aloud by faith, believing, and claim them at least daily when you're going through it. God will take care of you. And then the second point is pray without ceasing. Doesn't mean that you sit in one spot and you just keep praying. It means that you pray continuously. You don't wait until something goes wrong, but you pray and you seek God. You seek and you will receive encouragement from Him. You continue to pray. And then the third point is affirm your faith. Even when you're going through a difficult time, we are affirming our faith. There are folks sitting right here in this congregation now or online who may be going through difficulty, but they still have come to church and singing the songs of praise, right, and believing in God, so they're affirming their faith. Amen? They're online watching the service, or they're here, and if everybody was to tell their story, what they're going through sometimes, we would be surprised. But the mere fact that they get up and come to church or is watching online, believing in Jesus, we are affirming our faith through praise. Praising God in the midst of our circumstance and our situation. Amen? Have you ever just praised God even though things were bad? Praise Him even though you couldn't see the end. Praise Him even though you don't know how it's going to turn out. And you praise Him anymore. And you praise Him anyway. And when you least believe it, something just turns and God makes a way out of no way. Amen? God will do that. And friends, you're doing that today. Keep showing up. Keep showing up. When problems are happening, keep showing up. Show up to church. Show up in your belief. Show up in your faith. Keep showing up because God will work it out. Amen? And my last point is believe in miracles. Believe that our Lord is a miracle-working Lord. The same God that took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, right, and Jesus blessed it and it multiplied. He's the same God that made the put sight to blinded eyes. He's the same God that raised a dying child. He's the same God that a woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of His garment. He's the same Lord. He's a miracle-working God, and miracles happen every day, more so than problems. We hear about the problems, we hear about the troubles because it's on the news, but we don't hear often enough about the miracles that God continues to do. But God continues to do miracles through Jesus Christ, touching our lives and turning it around. Amen. This is the God that we serve. And so as I close, Apostle Paul prays for the readers. And this was the epistle prayer. And I want to leave you with this prayer that he prayed for us, for you and me. And Paul went through a lot. And it says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of His glory, He may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through His Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish, hallelujah, he is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. This is my prayer for you, and it's my prayer for me, as we bow before God, that we are reminded that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly what we could ask or think. Amen. God bless you today. Amen. And so, friends, we truly serve a miracle-working God. Let us now pray for our church. Let us begin. God of love and hope, we gather here this day in thanksgiving for the gift of our lives, our loved ones, and our church, Hicksville United Methodist. We have come this far by faith because we have trusted in you.